This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Khoo Suchong and I'm with Wong Shaoning and Philip C. 7:35, in about half an hour, we've got the grill. What's going on?
Yeah, so Lin Mark will be interviewing Tan Sri Siddiq Hassan, chairman of the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, EAIC. It's a commission in charge of monitoring transparency and accountability across 21 government agencies. The EAIC doesn't have enforcement capabilities of their own. Does that make them a toothless tiger? EAIC's new chairman, Tan Sri Siddiq Hassan, talks to us about the commission's effectiveness and tackling corruption.
Okay, so Tan Sri Siddiq Hassan and corruption. Okay, now let's talk about Japan. Japan ended 2020 on a high note as the latest GDP data shows that its economy grew at an annualized pace of 12.7% in the fourth quarter.
Well, overall, its 2020 GDP shrank 4.8%, but this was lower than economists' predictions. These are encouraging signs that the Japanese economy could see a V-shaped recovery this year. But we still don't know the impact of the state of the emergency declared last month, which could dampen output for the first quarter of this year. However, in other encouraging news, Japan is set to begin its vaccine rollout this week after the government authorized the use of Pfizer vaccine. The success of the vaccination program will be key if the Tokyo Olympics is to be held in July as scheduled, and is also seen as a lifeline for Prime Minister Suga's, whose approval rating has plummeted in recent months.
So to expand onto this issue, we've got on the line with us William Pasek, the Tokyo-based journalist and columnist with Nikkei Asia. William, thanks for talking to us. Now, there was a strong earthquake over the weekend in Fukushima, obviously evoking memories of the deadly 2011 disaster. What's been the impact so far on the ground?
Well, it certainly freaked us out a little bit. It was the biggest shake we've had in a number of years. I mean, some would argue it's the biggest shake in 10 years since 3/11 of 2011. And it brought back rather surprising memories of that time. But I think also it reminded people that a lot of the work, the cleanup work in Fukushima, remains undone. There's a lot of people up there still living in temporary housing. And there's about 10,000, sort of unused fuel cells that are sitting on top of some of these nuclear power plants. So the cleanup job is, you know, sort of a work in progress, if you will. And with the Olympics coming, I think that added a bit of drama as well, because you have to look at the global community looking at Japan, looking at Fukushima, wondering how safe things are here at the moment.
Yeah, so William, let's shift a bit to the economy. So there was a bright spot in the latest GDP data, which showed that Japan's economy is on a clear path to recovery. So what is accounting for that strong performance in the fourth quarter? And does this mean that the worst is really over?
Well, I mean, you saw the government pump about 2.2 trillion US dollars of stimulus into the economy last year. And export markets are doing a little bit better, thanks largely to China. You know, China grew last year. South Korea is stabilizing. So in some ways, you've seen some export demand. But I think that there's a lot of concern that this is what you call the so-called dead cat bounce, where you look at the COVID cases in Japan, you look at the state of emergency, which is in place at the moment, and you expect the first quarter of this year to be a bit less robust than we saw the fourth quarter of last year. And it really depends on how well the government does in terms of containing the coronavirus. It's done a decent job so far relative to, say, the West, but there still are a lot of concerns here about the coronavirus and it's hurting consumption. So, you know, we'll see.
And since you mentioned the coronavirus, we do know the government has approved the Pfizer vaccine and begins its rollout this week. So what do we know? What do you know about the vaccination program and how quickly will it be distributed?
I can tell you I know not a thing about it. And the reason why I say that is because I'm looking to get a vaccine myself. No one here has a clue. There's a bit of confusion about how things are going. I mean, yeah, sure, it's good news that the vaccine is arriving. Television channels here, they showed live aerial views from helicopters, these trucks driving away from the airport carrying the vaccine. And that was a lovely thing to see. But I think that there's a lot of questions about when they'll start vaccinating. And if you think that Japan is going to have the Olympics in 5 to 6 months and it hasn't put any vaccines in arms thus far, there's a question of there's this disconnect between the speed with which the government is operating with the vaccine and this Olympic event coming up. So it'll be interesting.
And William, we're going to come back to the Olympics in just a moment, but I want to understand why Japan, which is one of the richest countries in the world, seems to be so slow in rolling out the vaccine program, or doesn't even seem to have a plan in place. Is it due to the bureaucracy or lack of government will?
Well, it's all of the above. I mean, part of it is bureaucracy. part of it is, you know, Prime Minister Suga has been prime minister since September of last year. And he's been a very strangely laid back prime minister. In fact, you know, weeks go by and we kind of talk about where is this guy? The other thing, too, is Japan has a kind of long history of anti-vax propaganda, if you will. There's been a whole variety of experiences over recent decades, which have driven the population here to be somewhat reluctant to welcome the use of vaccines. And so you put the bureaucracy together with the lack of urgency on the government front. And also, you know, in some ways, you know, relative to, say, the U.S. where I'm from, Japan has done pretty well overall in terms of COVID. There's only about 7,000 deaths in the entire country. So I think because of that, the government has been lulled into this sense of complacency, if you will.
Yeah, William, so Suga's popularity is indicatively on the decline. What do you think are the main factors behind that, you know, that, well, him being less popular than before?
Well, I think part of it is just the aloofness I was just mentioning. I think that there's been one of the most common questions everywhere in Japan is, where is the prime minister? What is he doing? And so I think that Japan, because of Shinzo Abe before Suga and now Suga, they've taken a Donald Trump-like strategy towards the coronavirus. They've prioritized the economy and the stock market over public health. And I think that has hurt his approval ratings. And I think in general, he's just been seen as just very laid back. Japan has a lot of challenges for 2021, a lot of crises, if you will. And the prime minister has been surprisingly quiet about all of these things.
Yeah, so William, it's like a where's Wally scenario, right? Where is he?
Yes, exactly.
Because
exactly.
5 months to the Olympics, you've got the resignation of the chairman. You don't have a vaccination plan. It looks like this is going to be a blowout. And it's a very terrible symbolic decision if they cancel the Olympics.
It is. I mean, I think that, you know, I mean, I've kind of assumed for months now the Olympics is not going to happen. I think that the government is reluctant to admit that. You have the IOC in Switzerland. They do not want to be the ones to cancel the Olympics. You've got the Olympic Committee in Japan. They don't want to be the bad guy. So there's this kind of staring contest going back and forth. But you keep reading about these new coronavirus variants that are coming from the UK, from South Africa, from you know, indigenously in Japan. And so you think about the Olympics coming up in 5 to 6 months, the idea that 1 million tourists and athletes are going to come to Japan for this mass in-person event during a pandemic, I'm not sure history would look very kindly on us. And I think when you look at the fiasco over the last 10 days with the, you know, former Prime Minister Modi, the head of the planning committee, being forced to resign, I think that in some ways is a microcosm of the problem. There's just a lot of chaos and a lot of people here in Tokyo who just don't want to take the responsibility for doing what we all assume will happen, which is canceling the games.
So, William, I'm just going to ask, you know, with the re-elections coming up later this year and the polls are being called for, do you think LDP will replace Suga? Is he going to remain prime minister?
You know, I mean, when you look at his performance, he certainly should be replaced. The problem is that the LDP has a rather weak bench, if you will. The most common question is, well, you don't like the prime minister. Who else is there? And, you know, there are a couple of candidates, but there's not a very strong front-running candidate who has the energy or the charisma to step forward and say, it's my turn. But I think, I wrote this week in Nikkei that I think Japan finally needs a female prime minister. And I think the kind of chaos you've seen recently with the Olympics, the kind of sexism that's still pervasive here, the ways in which Japan over the last, you know, 7 years has fallen rather sharply on World Economic Forum standards in terms of gender equality. It is time for a new approach. Why not go for a female prime minister next? That's my feeling.
Tokyo Mayor,
I think Koike would be a great candidate. The problem is, though, she's not currently a member of parliament. So from Japan's standpoint, it will be difficult to get her into the prime ministership soon. There's a woman named Noda Seiko. She was the youngest post-war cabinet minister many years ago, but she's had a number of portfolios, including, you know, telecommunications, including technology, including gender affairs. She has talked about throwing her hat in the rings. There's the former defense minister, Inada. She's talked about running. So I just think that Japan's had a lot of 60, 70, 80-year-old men running the country. It's time for a woman.
Well, William, obviously, echoes of that in other parts of Asia, including in Malaysia.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks you for talking to us. That was William Pasek, the columnist with Nikkei Asia out of Tokyo, Japan, obviously. You know, fourth quarter GDP was aside, there's a lot of issues in Japan now, most notably of which is the possible cancellation of the Tokyo Olympics. I mean, that's going to be a big one for them.
I think, I don't know, if we had to take a bet, do you think it will go on? I mean, they haven't even rolled out the vaccination program. And as William pointed out, they don't even seem to have a plan for a very rich, developed country. It's a bit of a question mark, right?
I mean, years ago, we talked about how this Olympics is going to be the big fillip for the Japanese economy.
It was supposed to be
right?
their mini stimulus plan.
That's right.
And so much money has already been spent on infrastructure. And apparently now, advertisers are starting to pull out because of the uncertainty of it. So I don't know. And, you know, the idea of 1 million tourists descending onto Japan at this current time seems rather odd.
Well, I think just give you some numbers. The Olympics was originally projected to cost $7.3 billion, but now the official estimate is revised to $12.6.
Nice.
However, government's own auditors have put the true cost at $20 billion.
The more you spend, the more they'll come, right? Obviously, that's the idea. But there's a multiplier effect. The other something that William was talking about was this whole shift from the, you know, the ossified hierarchy of elderly male politicians.
60, 70-year-olds.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, you got Jacinta Ardern, right? You've got Kamala Harris in America. And, you know, the rest of the world will be dragged along kicking and screaming along with this mega trend. You know, it's just, I don't like to talk about gender biases in terms of just whatever, right? But you just need some fresh ideas. Young, youthful, alternative ideas, because the old
best
world is dying.
Best person for the job,
best
right?
person for the job.
Yeah. Maybe it's time to make way, you know, to think of new ideas to solve this economic and health crisis that Japan is facing.
Well, talking about new ideas, we'll come back after this with a discussion on youth politics in Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.